go. It is a are on the streets of the Osiris Bratwurst Festival, Bratwurst Festival Edition 2023, 9:15 a.m. You had to hear the whole song there, but that's because we're not in the studio. We can't put down the music, but we're glad you're with us here because it is time for Over the Back Fence with Pastor Whitaker and myself. And, of course, we've got Sean and Matt and Frank here today, so we're having a good time. We have located more chairs at the Bratwurst Festival, so now everybody has a seat as we sit around the table. Pastor, how's it going?
Quite a little powwow here, don't we?
It is. Hey,
this is Pastor Steve Whitaker from Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. I do want to put in a plug for one of our sponsors, which is Jeff's Bicycle Shop in Prospect. Jeff has all your bike needs, especially if you're a serious biker. And also, I want to put in a plug for Middle Ohio Insurance Solutions, which is really great with Medicare and those type of things. So just thought I'd mention those things.
So what's on your mind this morning, Pastor?
What is on my mind?
As we sit on the streets.
I'll tell you what's on my mind. And I sit here as I look around, and I'm looking down the street, and it seems like a nice event's going to kick off here in about an hour or two. But, you know, I once again, last week we talked about busyness. Remember that? And this week I'm thinking about what the benefits of not being busy. And one of the benefits of slowing life down a little are things like the Bratwurst Festival. I can't even talk.
No.
Bratwurst Festival. Because, you know, you can take your kids and just take your time, stroll, look, enjoy things a little. And I think that we get, a lot of these events don't draw like they used to. A lot of neat events don't draw like they used to. Prairie Peddler, which will be in a couple months. There's a lot of different events that people can go to. County fairs, just enjoying, not necessarily just the Midway, but go back and go through the buildings, look at the exhibits, look at the barns, look at the animals. You know, once again, I think that when we stop rushing constantly and getting involved in things that take all our time, does anyone ever take into consideration how much time one dedicated, you don't just have travel ball today, you have travel show choir, and you have travel, you know, on and on it goes. And it's one of those things where it's 5-6 days a week, and the weekend practices every day practically, and it so limits us to pigeonholes us into one thing that we don't get to experience the wide things of life. Give me a thought.
Well, that's absolutely true. I think we do get very busy and we don't pay attention to the softer things that are going on in life, which we really do need to pay attention to, because I think those a lot of times are the things that we do remember, going to festivals. But on the offhand, other side, I think when you get really unbusy, then you sit at home and say, boy, I wish I had something to do.
Oh, I agree. But I'm not saying first of all, take care of the things you need to at home. You know, a lot of times people run in their house. Oh, wow, I forgot to mow the yard since 3 months ago. But no.
Well, you were over at my house, weren't you?
Yeah, I was.
Yeah.
But no, you know, the thing is that I understand that, but at least try to limit things. It's really funny. I know a lady very well that was telling me 4 years ago when her daughter started middle school that they had decided that her daughter was going to play one sport. And she said, you pick the sport because we are a family and we're going to do things together as a family. Well, now it's 4 years later and her daughter is doing three sports and travel ball, and the family doesn't get to do anything together that the other kids enjoy or maybe would enjoy, because they're just stuck doing that one thing. And I think, if that's your thing, if that's what you want to do, I think it's great, do it. You know, but I'm just saying, man, you know, whatever happened to showing your kids culture? I know kids get bored, you say, let's go to the museum, but I'll tell you something. When you do go, there's interesting things there, and a lot of different things. Get your kids in, of course, I'm a pastor, I want you to get your kids involved in church. You know, get them involved in Sunday school. A lot of times people say, I want my kids to make up their own mind about whether they believe in God or go to church or that kind of thing. I think, well, you're not giving them that option, because the only place they go to is school, where they're teaching you there is no God and there is no option. You know, if you're going to have an option, you got to see both sides of the coin. Well, how are they ever going to see it if you don't take them? So I just think that we're missing out on a lot of culture, a lot of tradition, a lot of things that are truly important and are good things. How about visiting How about visiting relatives? Scott, I'll ask you guys this. Anybody can answer this question. You guys sitting here, of course, we have Sean and Matt and Frank sitting here today. When I was a kid growing up, we were at a different relative's house at least every other week, just on a Sunday for dinner or a Saturday visiting or something. How many of you guys, when you grew up, had that happen?
Me.
You
yeah,
did?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We were always
How about you, Matt?
Yeah.
Frank?
Oh, yeah. We sold horse heads, cast horse heads.
He's talking about the things that would go on a hitching post?
Yeah. Got to see a lot of cereal.
not like in the, what was it called? The Mafia movie. The Mafia movie.
Oh, yeah, you'd wake up with a horse's head.
Dead horse head. You're bed. That's what Frank's talking about. We sold those horse heads.
That's right.
But, so you traveled and did that.
Oh,
saw people.
Got to travel, yeah.
So let me ask the next question, guys. Was it beneficial?
I think it was, but I'm not sure. I mean, I think a lot of it's blamed on cell phones and internet and things like that.
I never mentioned those.
Yeah, no, but as to why we don't do it now.
I know.
But I don't know what the reason is, because I don't think that is the reason.
No, I don't either. I don't either. I don't think it's that bad at all.
I think now both parents, if it's a two-parent family, they're working all the time to make ends meet. And if it's a single family member, they don't have enough time to do anything because they're taking care of the kids. And they miss out on so much.
I heard a young adult say the other day that was saying that they quit. They just quit doing any sports midway through high school. They said, you know, they've taken all the fun out of it. You know, the intramural stuff we used to do and, you know, things of that nature. You know, they've made it so serious that and so demanding and so time and money consuming that, you know, just getting a bunch of people together and playing ball, that's where the real fun was. You still got the same exercise, same quality out of it. And we just don't see that anymore. And I wish that, man, I seem to hammer simplicity a lot, don't I?
Well, I think
it
it's important.
Must be a pet peeve of mine.
Well, I think it's important. Now, have you been able to find it in your own life?
Yes, I have. And I'll tell you, being a pastor is kind of odd thing to do, in a way, if you think about it. Frank and I were talking about this on the way up. I don't think that people always think that a pastor shows up on Sunday, gives a message, and that's what he does. But, you know, we are on call 24/7, and those calls come in 24/7. It just depends. You never know. I mean, well, I don't control death. I don't control hospitals. I don't control marital issues. I don't control kids in trouble. But those are when we get our calls. And we get those calls. They can come at any time. So, I sometimes I get pulled away. But I will have to say, when my kids, when I raised my own children, they were very involved in. One daughter was in band, and another daughter was in cheerleading. So we had those Friday night things. But it didn't all consume us. You know, they had practice after school, but we weren't traveling much to do that. And then my kids were very involved in showing cattle and livestock in the fair. So we got involved in that, but it was seasonal. And we were able to, we did a lot more simple things. We spent a lot more home time and working around the house and doing things of that nature. And I'll tell you, we grew close as a family because now as adults, you know, they're all raised. Matter of fact, by the first of the week, I will have a great-grandchild.
Oh, how nice.
So that's really wonderful. But all of us are still close. And all of them but one family, we all still go to church together. And the other one lives in Marysville, so she's not as close. But we get together on Sundays for dinner. It's an open door for dinner. You don't have to come, but Shirley makes it for the whole family, all 25 of us. And why is that? Because we built those relationships, and they became important when they were younger. And I hear parents today complain so much, adult parents, that you know, oh, we don't see, oh, you're so lucky to see your grandkids, you're so, you know, blah, blah, blah. And that's great, and I feel for them, but at the same time, did they create that environment as they were growing up, or were they just running everywhere and everyone doing their own thing? And if that's what you're going to do, that's what you're going to do it as an adult, too.
Well, I would say that's probably true, and I think, you know, some people just don't do well with social graces. Some people are more introverted, and if you were an introvert as a child, and you don't like to have conversations, and you don't keep up on current events, which is what a lot of people talk about when they get together, you probably don't like to go to those events and probably won't take your kids to those events. maybe as often as you should.
Which events do you mean?
Just family get-togethers. Any place where there's going to be people outside of your immediate group.
Yeah, I don't know. I have a couple kids in our family that aren't exactly jumping out in conversation all the time. But they all still want to come around. They still want to be there. They want to feel that family connection, whether they're introverts or whether they're the ones that carry the conversation.
But what I notice is going into a restaurant where I assume people are going to meet and talk and eat, and everybody will be staring down at their cell phone. Nobody's talking.
You know, that's interesting. I don't think, this may sound strange, I don't think that you always have to talk to feel companionship and camaraderie. Sometimes it's just being with people. And yeah, the cell phone can be distracting. But you know, a lot of times when you are there with family, you're not all talking about the same thing. You got five conversations. Trust me, in my house, it sounds like they're talking in a foreign language because when they're all there, they're all having 10 different conversations, and try listening to that. But the point is, it's just a matter of being there, and it's a matter of the connection.
Well, I've come to realize, I don't think the cell phone is distracting these people, because you do have people who have cell phones who are sitting there talking to each other just fine. I think they go to the cell phone because they have nothing to say to the other person.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's
a
distraction. I think it's just, I don't have anything to say anymore, and now this is what I'm going to do because we have talked about everything, I guess.
Well, it's kind of like when my granddaughter comes over, my youngest one, and she's four, and she takes over the television, and we've got 3 6-headed mice playing on or whatever she's watching. I don't know what these shows are, but you know, she's got that on. Yeah, I'm probably going to my cell phone if I was sitting there, because it's just not my thing, and it's kind of the same thing. If you've got, you can get lost in. Not every conversation is one that you want to be part of, but I really think that just being there and knowing that family's there and caring about family. You know, when you lose contact with people, a lot of times you lose empathy for what they're going through because you just don't know it and don't feel it. When you're around people and you spend that time together, if they're going through a tough time, you know it. And when you're going through a tough time, you need family. You need those people that care about you, that check on you. And you know, I look back over the years and I know of a couple relatives that I didn't even go to their funeral when I was younger. And it was because I lost so much contact with them. It was like I didn't know them anymore. And I think that's a quality in America that we're losing. And it's not just America. Family's important all over the world. And some families, it's kind of interesting. We were talking about this the other day while driving, some of these unbelievable homes that you see. And in America is an odd country in that it's one of the few countries that everyone has their own house. In most countries, regardless of the size of the house, you usually have more than one family and multiple family members living in that house. You remember the show, you guys won't, Matt won't. But you guys remember the show Dallas?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I know that was kind of extravagant, but you know, they all had their wing of the house and they all came down to the table together. Well, that's the way most of the world is. And even in small houses, and that's why you see here when a lot of Latino people will come here, people say, I couldn't believe it, there were five families living in that house trailer. That's normal for them. And they learn to live together, and it's important, and they all share the load. Several years ago, I was down in Florida, outside of Tampa, down on the Gulf Coast, and there were these beautiful mansions down along the coast, and we were looking at the price of one of them, and I got to calculating in my head, and I thought, well, wait a minute, if I took all four of my kids, my wife and I, and we took what we all pay every month for where we live, we could all move in that place, and we could pay for it. And, you know, in other parts of the world, that's normal. When we become private all the time, we become disconnected. And I think connection's good.
I'd say that's absolutely true. I think the more private you become, the less connected you become. But see, private, I think, is different than secretive. I was having this conversation with somebody the other day because I think they misused the word secretive. They were saying, this person is a very secretive person. And I said, well, I don't think that they're trying to keep things from you. That would be secretive. I think they're just not as open about what's going on in their life as some people might be. I think if you ask them, they would tell you. I just think they don't offer it. Some people will call people up and say, did you hear about, did you see, and they're just not that type of person.
Yeah, I think so too. Secretive is when there's something you don't want anyone to know, so you intentionally don't say it to anyone.
A lot of sets them apart.
Yeah.
I knew, I have something that you don't have, special knowledge.
Right, that's true too. And I think that a lot of people, like you said, that they're just not going to offer it up. I mean, if you bring it up, they'll sit and talk about it all day. Or, to what extent they will.
Well, sometimes it's a downer, too. If it's something, somebody died or somebody's sick or somebody has been hurt or something, a business has went out that maybe they were a part of, you don't want to sit and talk about that for 6 hours.
No. And sometimes people, they want to get away just so they can get their mind off of it. And then when they show up, you talk about it. It's like, why did I even come?
Well, it's funny. I always hear that with actors. And it is true that if you are an actor, especially on the stage, wherever you're performing, that when you go on the stage, they will always say whether you're sick. The only excuse they will take for not showing up is that you're dead. Because, you need to go out there and perform. And I heard one time, I believe it was a comedian, and nobody will remember his name, Shelley Berman, was a big comedian. And I heard him interviewed one time, and he had a son who died very young of I think it was an autoimmune disease. And he was saying the night his son died, he was booked to perform in Ohio at a comedy club. And he said, you know what, that night I was never funnier. Because you have to put it out of your mind. It's just, you can't sit there and think about that or what kind of show is that going to be. Now, not that the death of your son is not a huge, huge thing. But he made the decision that day to go on stage that night. And probably because of that, it took all the inhibition that he would normally have had, and he let it rip, and just let it go that night. And I thought that was very interesting.
It's interesting what your mind does. When the night that my found my mother, she had died at home unexpectedly. Initially, I was just out of my mind. I was a wreck. I mean, I was just couldn't be consoled. But within an hour, I had gone into autopilot and was taking control of what I needed to. And just from that point all the way through the funeral, I was business. I operated more from the point of a pastor than I did from the point of a grieving son. And then, your mind does interesting things, does it not?
Well, it certainly does. And I think that's a big part of it. Because you always wonder, well, how is somebody able to cope with that? Some people can, and some people can't. Some people go into that mode, and some people go into the opposite, where they are inconsolable. I think it's different personalities, pretty much.
And I did go back into the inconsolable mode after all the responsibility was done. And it's just interesting how our mind will work that way. But I really believe that, back to where we started with, I'm looking down the street here, and of course there's nobody here that's here just for the Bratwurst Festival. These are all workers we're looking at because it hadn't started yet. But when it started, I noticed last year, I'd see a couple moms and dads with their kids walk. Mom and dad, get out and do that for your kids. I mean, everyone doesn't always have to go in opposite directions. You wonder why they're adults, they would go opposite directions? Because when they were kids, you all went opposite directions. And do things together as a family. And remember that you have however many kids you have, that's how many kids you have. Don't pour all your energy into the one kid that you think is going to make the NFL. Or the one kid that you think is going to be make Hollywood or being a fantastic artist of some type. Don't pour, spread your time around equally. And understand, look, if you've got a child that maybe they're more of an intellectual child that is maybe a little bit of an introvert and they like doing things like going to museums or going, give them equal time. Have your other kids that you might have a kid that's totally outgoing and very gregarious and loves to play ball. You know what? Take him to the museum with the other kid because that child just as important as the one that gets the limelight.
Yeah, I think you have to balance that sort of thing, and it's hard. It's hard at points because some kids just don't want to be doing certain things. They're not into sports. They're not into plays in high school. They don't want to do that sort of thing. So you end up being consumed with the other children because you're taking them to practices and you're taking them to games. And it becomes very hard to juggle that.
Well, and sometimes, you know what's kind of not fair? We have a tendency to lean towards what is easy, fun, and popular. And if you look at, for instance, you've got kids that, I'll give you an example, I've got grandkids that you know, love sports and love that type of thing. But if you were to tell them that they were going to do something in more of an intellectual line, as far as something or event to go to, they say, I'm not going, forget that. Well, could you imagine if as a family, you know, you tell the kid that's in that more of an intellectual introvert line that you're going to come to the game with us because as a family you're going, you can't stay home. And they said, I'm not going to that. Well, no, you're coming because that's what we're doing. And I think that we need to make everyone balanced. I mean, there's no reason for the kid that doesn't like the intellectual things to not be exposed to that too. I mean, that's how we get diversity, and diversity is so important to understand other people around you. You'll never understand diversity if you stay in the same spot all the time.
Well, that's true, and I think diversity is a big thing that people need to be exposed to, and I don't really know if they are. I really don't hear a whole lot of, this past week was the first day of school for a lot of kids. Marion City went back to school, Elgin went back to school, Pleasant went back to school, River Valley went back to school. And on the first day of school, everybody puts pictures up of their kids online.
Everybody.
Yeah,
I was thinking of that yesterday because we never did that.
No, we didn't get that. That was before us.
Yes.
Yeah. And or after us. That came after us. But I was thinking about that, and I could tell the parents that were doing that because they were good parents, and you know, it was an emotional day. Their son was starting out as a senior.
Yeah. Yes.
The first day of preschool for the child. I could tell those parents, but I could also tell the parents who were doing it just to put a picture on Facebook.
Some of them were staged with signs and things.
And that's it. And yeah. So you can tell. But I don't think they think you can tell, but you can tell.
Yeah, some of them were really staged. I just kind of scratched my head on that one.
Yeah, I say, where are your other kids?
Yeah, that's kind of interesting, is it not?
Well, I found it fascinating, and I also find it fascinating that that's become a ritual now. That I think a lot of parents see those pictures on their social media,
so
and then they
go,
we got to do it. We got to get one up there.
You know what I found myself doing was I found myself commenting on some of them, and then I realized, oh, wow, you know, I've got to go down and comment on all of them because you know, I don't want someone saying, well, why did he tell my kid to have a great year and he didn't tell my kid to have a great year? Well, so when I saw them, I scrolled through to make sure I hit all of them because I can't afford to have people think that I don't care about the kid.
There was
too
a ton
much
of
effort.
Ton
you know,
of
them.
What I should have probably done is not commented on any of them. But I don't know. But I didn't mind commenting. Don't get me wrong if you hear this, that I didn't mind and I care about all your kids so much. But I realized in my position in what I do that I can't, even though I never show favoritism, I love all these families and kids, I can't even risk being looking like I'm showing favoritism because I remember one Sunday in church, I was walking around and just randomly welcoming people. Well, someone caught my attention and I turned and I missed this couple behind me that was a newer couple. Well, they'd been there years ago, but they'd come back for a visit. And his mother caught me outside and said, you need to go up and welcome them and say hi to them because they were really offended that you missed them when you were shaking hands. I'm like, okay. You know, I didn't even realize I did it. But you know, that's how people are.
People are funny.
They are funny.
People are funny that way. People feel slighted. You know, the one that always throws me off is tone of voice. You spoke to me in an awful tone of voice. Well, I don't even know what that means, really.
Yesterday, I have one of my vehicles that's in an auto shop, and I stopped to see if it was ready, and it wasn't. And the guy that owns the shop, was working on it, was out testing a car, and the guy said, you know, I'm not the one working on it, I don't know, he'll be back in a few minutes. And I went, okay, all right, and I left. And the guy called me later on, and he said, hey, you were in, and I want to let you know what's going on in your vehicle. He goes, the other worker, he told me you were pretty upset when you left. I was not. I upset never entered my mind.
Tone of voice,
evidently. But I was a little rushed. And he interpreted my actions as, for crying out loud. And sometimes my kids will tell me, you know, Dad, you were kind of short with that person. I said, well, I'm not a very tall guy. But I don't know.
Well, you know, sometimes you're just in a rush.
You are.
You really are. And it has nothing to do with the conversation you're in. It's just something else has happened and you've got to go there. And you're just not going to have a full-blown conversation with the person.
That's right. That's right. But I don't know. I look at events like this and I think that we're really missing a lot. We're missing out on a lot of, and do people know what this term means anymore, Americana? I think we've missed a lot of that. The culture, you know, my father used to, you can, this was something, I don't know if any other parents did this, but at Christmas time, and sometimes at Thanksgiving, we would take things to people that were less fortunate. But my dad had a habit sometimes of every now and then, when we started getting a little big for our britches, he would take us to the worst parts of Columbus, where the poorest places were. And let me tell you guys something. This is, I'm talking about back before social programs of any kind. And there were people that literally, I mean, people don't believe this, but there were houses in Columbus that had dirt floors in some of the smaller neighborhoods where people actually threw their houses together. And Dad would take us through those areas just to let us know, look, not everyone lives the same. And you need to understand and be glad for what you have. I don't think that hurt me a bit.
No, I think it makes you appreciate what you do have. And you still remember that moment today.
And gave me compassion for those people that did. I just didn't assume that everyone was like me. An attitude out there that's very prevalent today is this attitude of, well, I pulled myself up by my bootstraps and they can do it too. It's their fault they're in the position they're in. I don't think that anyone understands generational poverty. I don't think they understand generational substance abuse. I don't understand. Here's a big one. Generational negativity is huge. I mean, it's hard to break out of some of this stuff when it's the only thing you've ever seen and it's the only thing you've ever known. It's kind of like the people understand, you know, I can't understand why some of these people in Afghanistan and these different places, you know, want to kill Americans and hate us so much, because it's generational. And they've been taught what they've been taught. And our attitudes towards other people are the same way. And we have to get out and explore, have our own minds, think about it. You know, God made all of us equal. We are totally equal. No one's better than anyone else in God's eyes. So why in our eyes are we doing it? I'm no better than anyone else. I am a product of my relationship with God and my environment. That's what I'm a product of. I'm a product of my parents and how I was raised. But I'm not a... and so we all come from a different place. I have no more right to judge you for where you, you know, than my, I want you to judge me.
Well, and that's true, and I think we are a judgmental society in a lot of ways. But I think in some ways, though, certain things do have to be maybe critiqued or brought up to people, because I think they don't know that maybe they're headed down the wrong path. Now, you can give that advice, maybe more than judgment.
Yeah, you know, as a pastor, I every Sunday, you know, I preach from the Word of God and I give biblical solutions to what people go through, what they should do. It's up to them to decide to do it. I can't change them. You know, I can't make them do anything. And it's just like this conversation today. My opinion, and it's only my opinion, some of you may share it, but it's my opinion that I think that as a society, we need to slow down and take in life. As they say, stop and smell the roses, or at least stop and pick a few. But take in more of life and be more diverse in what we do with our families. That's my opinion. I can tell you that. I can't force you to do it. And maybe you've got a better idea. Maybe I'm not right. But that's why I'm talking about what I think.
But, you know, a lot of people confuse opinion with judgment. That's what made me think about that. Is some people, when you give your opinion, they'll say, well, you're judging.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know that you're necessarily judging them. I'm just what I see.
Hey, look, I don't like liver and onions.
Yeah.
But I'm sure not judging you if I tell you it stinks and I don't want anything to do with it.
Yeah.
You know, and some people, oh, man, liver and onions, who's cooking? Am I going to have it? I'm thinking, not me.
Yeah.
I'm running the other way.
Yeah. Well, and it's just like, you know, you don't have to be in a car accident to tell somebody to slow down on the highway.
That's right.
You know, so, and it's pretty much that. You don't have to
have you ever been in an accident? Well, if you haven't, you have no right to tell them to go.
Well, I mean, I always hear, you know, you've got to walk a mile in their shoes, and I'm not necessarily sure that you do, for an opinion.
Not to have an opinion. I think that you have to be willing to be kind enough to look and see where they came from. Doesn't mean you have, I don't want to walk in their shoes. I want to learn from their shoes. You know what I mean? You know, I'm not going to go out and become a heroin addict so I can understand heroin addicts better. I mean, that's kind of stupid, isn't it?
Well, you know, when it comes to everything we've talked about today, time and management and downtime and the loss of possibly Americana and things like this, doesn't in the end all really boil down to your perspective on how you're living? Do you think you're maintaining things properly? Do you think you have the balance in your life that you need? Some people do. And
I don't.
Right, but they believe they do.
I think that I'm always a work in progress. And I think we all are. And, you know, I can say a lot of things. It doesn't mean that I do them perfectly. And that's another thing, too. I think that you can have an opinion without being perfect at it yourself. You know, I may be a... Say that I smoke. Okay, I don't. I did when I was younger, but I don't. And you know, say that I still struggled with it. Here and there, you know, just fell off the wagon or whatever. I can have an opinion to tell you how bad smoking is and how you should never do it and still struggle with it. You know, I may tell you that we need to stop and slow down and smell the roses and spend time with our family and do these things. And someone else says, is he out of his mind? That man goes 90 miles an hour. Well, they don't understand. Yeah, sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. And sometimes the situation dictates that you can't do that all the time. But it doesn't mean I can't have an opinion. You're right. Very right on that.
Yeah, well, and I think that's just where we are, is that some people, we are very, and this comes to everything in life right now, we are very unaccepting of other people's opinions. Now, you don't always have to agree with it, and you don't have to take people's advice or opinion, but it used to be that you would say, I'll think about that, or, okay, I hear what you're saying, even though I don't agree with it, I hear what you're saying. Now it's, I don't care, you know, you're wrong. How can you be wrong with an opinion?
Yeah, we're very divided right now in this country. I've never seen this country so divided, and I don't know where, you know, the direction we're headed is you know, it just seems to be more and more division, and it's very difficult. You know, we are supposed to put others before ourselves, and we're supposed to care about other people first and foremost. How can we be that way and yet literally not listen or not talk to them? You can't do that. You know, there's no way that you can have that love and compassion for people. Look, I might not agree with what you do, but it doesn't mean I can't care about you. You know, if I'm, for instance, during the pandemic, you know, we went out and on Sunday evenings, we tried to find all the senior citizens or shut-ins in our community. And we divided up, and each one of us took, remember that, we'd take five or six meals, and we'd all break down and go places. I didn't send out a form ahead of time wanting to know what their political opinion was or their spiritual opinion was before we'd feed them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And each one of them was equally as important, and that's the way we have to look at things. We are so based, you know, it almost starts out when you're a kid and you pick teams for the ball team, and y'all take this kid, I got him, and you know, there's always that kid standing there at the end that nobody wants because they know that he can't catch a ball. And, you know, why didn't we just go A, B, randomly and then just grab the kids and go? And we start forming those opinions based on people's worth that aren't fair. And, you know, I truly believe that we're to strive to do our best, and we need to reward what's done well. But just because you're doing well in this area, you know, something that's a real eye... What are we at on time?
We got about 10 minutes.
Something that's a real eye-opener, and Matt, you're closest to that just at a school stage, at a high school stage, than we are. We've all been a few years, huh, Frank?
Yeah.
But, I graduated in the 70s, but anyway, I find it very interesting that the kids that were popular in high school and a lot of the ones that, you know, were jocks, you know that term, John, or the kids that were the homecoming queen or those people. When you see them 10, 15 years down the road, a lot of times there will be this really put together guy that's got a great job and a great family and a great life, and you're thinking, you got to be kidding me. That kid was a geek in school or whatever the case, whatever they call him in that generation, a dweeb. You know, there's all kinds of words for him. But, you know, he was a nobody. How did that happen? And then you see somebody that was really, really popular and, you know, they're overweight and you know, living all night out of their car. And the point is that you know, don't judge people based on what you see at the moment, because people change, people are different, and people grow. And I think that we just have to be more, we need to be a little more compassionate.
You know, the one thing, there was a gentleman a couple years ago who had very strong beliefs about everything. And that's fine. I'm fine that people have beliefs about everything. But I said, I just wish you could understand, not change your belief, not even alter it a little bit, but understand that the person who has a different belief than you, in whatever it is, feels as strongly about their belief as you do about yours. Because they do. That's just the one thing I think that would create a greater tolerance and a greater ability to compromise and a greater ability to just deal with other people. If we just, you know, this right. is what I believe and this is why it's right, that's fine. But understand they do too, even though if it's the exact opposite of what you believe.
But understand what tolerance means. Tolerance means that I understand how you feel, I tolerate your opinion, I don't agree with it. Tolerance is not agreement. And in the minds of a lot of people today, either you agree with me or you're not tolerant.
That's the
and
problem.
I disagree. Like, for instance, we're going to drive down the road and I know that there's a cliff ahead and you don't believe there's a cliff ahead. No, I've been here 100 times, there's no cliff there, I'm still going 80 and by. And you know there's a cliff and they're going to drive off that cliff, and you know what? I certainly understand your opinion that you fully believe that it's not there, but I'm going to do everything in my power to get you to change your mind, because I don't want you going off that cliff. So the truth is, some of our beliefs, like my belief and our belief in Jesus Christ and what he's done in our life, to me is so important, and I think it's so important to you to know what I know, that I'm going to desire for you to understand and believe what I believe. I'm not doing it out of I'm right and you're wrong. I'm doing it out of I truly have a conviction with this, and I want you to understand and know. And I think that's a lot of times where people are confused with true Christians and what they do and what they believe. You know, and in a lot of countries, like for instance, in some of the Muslim countries, it's either convert or die. That's what it is, convert or die. But, you know, in what we believe is, what I believe is that, you know, listen, I desire for you to know and believe what I believe, because I believe that your entire life is surrounded and needs to understand that. You need that relationship with God. However, if you don't, you don't. You know, and I still got to love you. I still got to care about you. But I really desire for your own sake that you do. It's kind of like the parent. You know, the story of the prodigal son in the Bible. You know, the guy's son, he gets of age, he says, give me my inheritance now, and he goes out and lives like an idiot and blows it and just wastes everything. His dad never stopped loving him. And when he came dragging back to his dad after he was literally eating with swine for food, and his dad saw him coming, you know, he didn't say, aha, I told you this would happen. He said, hey, go kill the fatted calf and get this kid a robe and my signet ring. Look who's back. And I think that needs to be a lot more of our attitude, rather than, hey, I'm right and you're wrong. And, you know, now, who wants to listen to somebody that says that and acts that way? I don't.
That's the problem. I'm right and you're wrong is what it deteriorates into now. And a lot of times it'll deteriorate into an argument. I mean, you can try to persuade somebody. You can try to make somebody believe. But I just wish at the end of those, without severing ties or saying that person's nuts, just saying, okay, I have tried and I'll try again, but I do understand that they believe as strongly in what they believe as I believe in what I believe. I think we'd all be a little better off if we did that.
You know, in the Bible, you know, the Scripture says that if you, you know, if if you knock on the door, if you call on the God, he's not going to turn you away. You notice it says if you call or if you knock. It doesn't say that I am going to knock you out and drag you to my opinion or drag you to my belief. What it says is, you know, you're the one that needs to make that decision to follow. And I think there can be more of an understanding that way, to understand why people desire for you to know. You know, your teachers at school, they want you to come to school every day, not just so that they can say, you've got to be here. They want you in school because they don't want you getting behind in the lesson. And they want you to progress and do well. And it's that way in all of our lives. You know, a lot of times in our work environment, I think that if our bosses would take the attitude as, I want to help you grow in this job, and I want to help you do better, and I want to help you advance. And look, when you do A, B, or C, it's not helping you get there. Rather than, you know what, I hired you to do this, and, you know, you understand what I mean? I'm not saying coddle and baby your employees. See, but try to let them see the importance of the responsibility and taking responsibility for what they do. Rather than just, you know, that hard line, help, I guess what I'm saying is help people grow.
You know, somebody said to me not too long ago, they said, I feel like everything I'm doing is wrong. I'm making the wrong choices. And I just said, well, do the opposite.
Yeah. No, yeah. No, I can't do that. Quit complaining about what you're doing.
Well, I mean, if you believe everything is wrong, then do the opposite.
Do the opposite.
Must be right.
Must be right.
Yeah.
You know, I know people that do that all the time. I just feel like everything I do is wrong. I think, well, you know what? You're right. Sit back, and if that's what you feel, you better do the opposite. And see how that plays out. You know, not everything is going to go your way all the time. Why do we expect it to? You know, I know when I'm in a peak, in a high spot, I know a valley's coming. Because it does. We have roller coaster lives. I mean, one day's fantastic, and, you know, you're taking life by the horns, and you feel great, your body feels good that day, and the next day you go to get out of bed, and there's nothing else to move.
A phone call comes. Absolutely. Oh, there's always a phone call can come in the middle of a perfect day and just drop you. You know, there's anything.
Oh, believe me, I know. And I think we all do. And it's, you know, the more, I will tell you this, the more that you get involved with life, the more you care about people, and the more that you help people and you're there for them, the more you're going to have those instances, because the odds are just there. But you've got to be willing to take them. You've got to be willing to categorize those, to love people, to do the best you can, but don't let them drag you into that situation with them. You know what I mean?
It can rub off.
It can rub off.
It can rub off. And, you know, we have about 4 minutes left here, but it's very interesting to me that people also get into patterns. And I think when we go back to where we started this morning about people not enjoying life, people not enjoying the downtime, I think it's just a pattern in a lot of cases. Maybe their parents were like that. Maybe their grandparents were like that. They used to come like that.
I think that, you know, as my kids have, they've all grown and got married and have families, I've always looked at the pattern of their family and realized that, you know, maybe it's different than ours. I've talked to my kids about that. And I've talked to their future spouses and said, look, I know this is how you were raised, but this is how they were raised. And you need to understand that. I'm not telling you to do things just as our family did it. I'm saying you need to understand that they're not used to this, that, and the other. This is what they're used to. And I agree with that. We have to. People get into patterns, family patterns. Some families, we've been very blessed in one part of with some of our families that all their families are just similar to us in their closeness. And then other kids' families, you know, it bothers them, they never see their family. But anyway, what have we got to say as we're wrapping up? Frank, you got any final words? You're over there very quiet.
No.
I think Frank's just so cold he can't talk.
It is a cold. We should mention that we are outside on the streets here in Bucyrus, Ohio.
And the sun is on the shining the other way, yes. And we're under awning.
It'll be a sauna here tonight when the sun goes down in the opposite direction.
Matt, you got anything?
No, not off the top of my head.
No, I actually learned a lot today, actually.
Okay, well, good. I hope so.
Yeah. Well, hopefully so did the other listeners who are out there. And again, the show is on every Friday, usually from the studio in Marion, from 9:15 until 10 a.m. It's on Wednesday and Thursday from 3:15 until 4, and Sunday mornings, 8:15 until 9. also can be caught on the website, WWGH1071.com. Go to Program Archives for show under there. We've got about 50 seconds left, guys.
Well, I'll tell you guys, you go to our church Facebook page, Fellowship. You can catch my message every Sunday at 10:30, between 10:30 and up till 11, if you want to catch the message on.
So we've got about 30 seconds here. You heard the wisdom from the Bratwurst Festival?
Come out and bring your kids. Do something.
Bring a sweater.
Yeah.
Bring a sweater. Bring a sweater.
But no, come out. It's great. It's hard to make it a nice festival here. I'm starting to smell all the food cooking. And hopefully, if you're hungry, don't cook tonight. Come
out. It's going to be a great time. Stay with us. We've got more from the Bratwurst Festival coming up right around the corner. And here comes the obituaries, news, and weather. Stay tuned. WGH.
This is WWGH Radio.